than us having to do this shit.
I know this fucking podcast, it's such a bunch of fucking bullshit.
It's ruined pretty much everything for me.
I mean, I agree. I don't really have a life anymore outside this fucking podcast,
You're a
dude.
slave driver, man.
I don't mean to. I mean,
It,
look,
it's 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 24 hours a day, man.
well, I just feel
We're
like
always producing.
I think you can take solace in this, Jeff, that if I'm
Yes.
doing this to you, that means I hate myself as much as I hate you.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Everyone listening to the podcast right now, hello, everybody. You're bitches, welcome to the podcast. You bitchin' bunch of bitches, you bitchin' and britches. Yeah, I bet you guys have pants on and you're just bitchin' and britches.
Wow.
I've decided
That's
to do.
quite an announcement.
Yeah, I've decided to. I start opening the show up in very just odd ways, Jeff.
Bitchin' and britches.
Bitchin' and britches. If you got them pants on, Wrangler. That's right, son. You got
Or it
Wrangler.
could be bitching without britches.
Ooh, when you for those after hour bitchins, you got bitchin' without britches.
I think we should only do one shout out tonight.
Only one? Who do you? I'm gonna leave it to you because I don't like. I don't. I get nervous. I don't know who to shout out.
Jameson
Jameson
Stallsworth.
Stallsworth. Yeah,
Yeah.
from what we
Jameson
understand,
Stallsworth. I
Jameson
think
has
he,
to go ahead. I'm sorry.
yeah. He has to listen because his wife listens. And so we've never reached out to him.
That's true. We
And on a
haven't.
serious note, Jameson is one of my inspirations and one of my early crushes in the film industry. When I saw some of his films that he made and his wife produced, I was very impressed. And getting to meet them was impressive. And then getting to work with them is even more amazing because I consider him one of the most talented dudes in the scene.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree. Like he has such a unique style and like all his stuff always looks good. It's very well written. It seems like he's one of the only guys doing animation around here, but if anyone else is doing animation, you just let me know so I am wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, he's the one the animation that I've seen the most of. Maybe there's a little bit of other animation. Also, while his films are sometimes traumatic, they're very well made, and so they might be traumatic in the content of them, but it's not they're not traumatically made.
No, I mean, no, they're very well done and touches a wide range of subject matter and
Yep.
I know Tiffy has mentioned that she wants us to have Jameson on and I'm throwing down the gauntlet. I'm throwing it down, Jeff.
Yeah,
I'm
we're looking
calling
for people to join us.
for Jameson. If you're listening, of course you're listening. Tiffy has you listening. You're probably laying down, covered in children.
They do
Come
have
on
a bunch of kids.
the come on the
Like, what, 12 now?
podcast.
Are there 12? I can't remember that. It
They're,
just
I
seems like.
mean, I just hear them. I hear them. Their little feets is what I hear. I hear
I
their
think
little feets.
Tiffy has like a litter of children, so she's just got they've got a bunch.
But they're
And
beautiful children.
they keep seeming to like multiply.
And just come on the podcast. We would love to have you on. You're very smart, intelligent, human being, and just getting to hear you speak and say things is always a pleasure.
And there are lots of other filmmakers that are wonderful, but doubtful that many of them listen to us. But
yeah,
we'd love to have you listen to us. And any other filmmakers that are listening, we'd love to see your work if we haven't seen it.
That's a good idea. Yeah, let us watch your shorts and let us put our fucking input in on on your. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I would like to watch them. Just go ahead and send them to us anyways. I'll watch them, but I don't want to review them on air.
Yeah, we will definitely watch stuff.
Speaking of watching stuff, Jeff, what do we think is traumatic this week?
Well, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier this week when we were saying mean things about ourselves. I think I was calling myself an idiot and you were calling yourself an idiot. And then we decided that maybe we shouldn't be so mean to ourselves. And so we were talking about negative self-talk being traumatic.
Yeah. I have definitely been struggling with it this week. Actually, it just feels like this fucking month. If you guys are keeping up with anything, while listening to the episodes, I did one about my fears of antidepressants and getting on medication, and
yep,
you know, I find myself just like, it's this constant loop of negative self-talk. You're a piece of shit. You're terrible. You're awful. And I want to mitigate it because it's now becoming more frequent than it has been. It's not every once in a while. It's taking up hours of my day of just negative self-talk while trying to do everyday activities. And I have done my turn of like, okay, maybe I do want to try medication, and maybe I do want to get on something to maybe just get that to stop.
Yeah, I'm on medication, man. I've been on medication for years.
How long have you been on medication, Jeff?
I mean, it's been over 10 years. I can't remember exactly. I take paroxetine or Paxil for anxiety and depression.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, like,
and I did a lot of therapy also to sort of mitigate the negative self-talk. But I think hand in hand, they both sort of helped.
Yeah. So, like, what's, if you don't mind, I mean, I don't want to force you to open up your shit if you don't want to, but I'm just curious, like, what is your experience with it been since you've been doing it for a decade?
Yeah. I feel like I'm probably healthier than I was. I tried to get off of it, and that's one of the negatives, is sometimes the meds are a little bit tough to get off of just because you've been on them for so long. But, I mean, there are side effects, but it changed. I literally changed my life. I don't think I was as depressed as I was anxious. And anxiety and depression are fairly similar mechanisms. But I was very concerned about having some kind of disease. You know, there's a bump in my mouth. It's cancer, just ruminating and that kind of thing. And starting on the medication really decreased that. And then I was able to sort of do the work I needed to do in therapy. So, it really, really helped. I mean, it's not like a miracle cure, but it took enough of the anxiety away that I just didn't worry as much.
Right. And yeah, 'cause like, and that's one of the things I'm afraid of, is like becoming dependent on that substance. I say that, I'm also acknowledging that I am a huge hypocrite. I mean, I still vape nicotine, quit smoking cigarettes after smoking it for 10 plus years. So I've really just sidestepped. So, and caffeine. But I am worried about, just because of my history, like with my like my parents of their substance abuse disorders and like developing that, like surely that's like, it feels like it could be a hereditary thing.
The good news about Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft, Lexapro, those drugs is they don't give you any kind of high. And so it's not that kind of it's not like that getting off of them. Paxil is actually one of the harder ones to get off of because it has a very short half-life. If there's any chemists listening, they may be able to explain that to me, but Prozac and Zoloft and some of the others aren't as difficult. And there are side effects like weight gain, libido, weight loss, sleep issues, but those really sort of went away pretty quickly for me. So it's not like I feel any kind of high. And so it's just like if your stomach hurts or you might feel a little dizzy or whatever if you're trying to get off of it. So it's not like you're craving. There's no craving.
Okay.
Like nicotine or caffeine or whatever.
Well, that's good at least.
And I've been on it. It's just like I haven't. My doctor's been like, "You have any problems? Just keep going." But usually, probably a 6 months to a year would be like a 6 months probably minimum, maybe a year, and then you could get off of a medication. I think sometimes it heals enough or lets you do the work you need to do, and then you don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have to be on it forever. I just haven't taken the effort to totally get off of it.
Right. And so another big concern, and it might be a little yucky for some of our listeners, but I think it's something that needs to be normalized when we talk about it. It's finding the right medication to where I can also come.
You can also what?
Come. Ejaculate.
Oh, yeah.
Orgasm.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Paxil is used for people that have premature ejaculation.
No fooling.
Because it does hit the libido a little bit, but it seems to prolong or maybe make things a little more.
Right.
Take a little more time, if you know what I'm saying.
That's not always a bad thing. I mean, I'm not saying I could use it.
So I've not heard inability to have an orgasm as a side effect of it. It sometimes messes with sex drive a little bit in the sense of libido decreases a little bit.
Right.
But each one is different, and then it depends on the dosage and whatever. I think the initial thing is when you take aspirin for a headache, it gets rid of your headache or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a lot more slower moving, and so it's building up a blood level. So usually it takes 2 to 4 weeks, although some of the newer ones work faster. And then it's sort of like taking the edge off. So it's like you might feel like if your depression or anxiety is normally at a 6 or 8, it might drop to a 4 or 6. Right. And so it's subtle, but it's enough. And then you get get some of your life back, and it's a lot easier to fight against those negative voices.
Yeah, because just like I mentioned, it is a cycle of, I don't know how your negative self-talk is, Jeff, but mine is very vicious, and it very much wants me to just think everyone in my life is a piece of shit when they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
you know, the good thing is about it is you don't have to commit to a period of time. You could try for a month and see what you think. See if you're noticing any negative side effects, see if you're noticing any positive. Maybe a month and a half just to make sure it's fully active. And then you could come off of it if you didn't like it or try a different one. It's not like a life sentence,
Yeah, and
you know.
it's hard not to think of it as one sometimes, I guess, like looking at it like, and that's mainly what everyone has told me, and it has been very like reassuring to just like, you know, it doesn't have to be a forever thing. I just it feels like okay, now you're so fucking broken. You're so damaged. You're so my trigger. Defective. You're so defective. You now need medication to make yourself feel better.
So it just feeds right into that negative self-talk.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting, if you have a broken arm, nobody gets weird about, like, we're going to have to put a cast on this for it to heal. And it's going to take some time for it to heal. Or if you've got diabetes, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so I have to watch my sugar. It, when it becomes a mental health issue, which is just the same, it's part of our brain, it's no different than putting a cast on your arm to heal
Right.
because it
Yeah.
takes some time. It's just that we are conditioned in our society to that, oh, you got to take care of your own business. If you use a medication, you're obviously weak, you know.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it maybe is just because we're, for the most part, I'm not trying to sound like, I don't want to exclude anyone. I'm just saying like mostly like humans, like we're very visual creatures. So we can see a broken arm. We can see when someone has shattered their leg. We can't see when someone has like broken their brain or they're in a depression. Like we can see the effects of it, but we can't like see, oh, I see your fucking dopamine tubes aren't pushing all the juice along.
Dopamine, and dopamine tubes is the correct anatomical word.
Look it up.
It's the dopamine tubes.
The women have fallopian tubes. We have dopamine tubes.
Dopamine tubes, and that's why the lobotomies work so well, because they cleaned out those dopamine tubes.
Yeah, they just it's very close to the nasal cavities, so
You know, I have seen so many people have, not everybody, and that's important to remember. And you know, when this is a thing between a doctor or a PA or a nurse practitioner or whoever your medical professional is and you, but I have seen so many people have relief from medication of different types. Some miraculous. I don't feel like mine was miraculous, but it did help. But I've seen some people go from some of my clients, for example, crying every session, you know, to being able to have some quality of life based on medication. So, it's definitely not a weakness. It's hard to accept that again, but so many of us, I know so many people, especially in the field, that are taking medication, just because it's tough work and it does get at you. And then a lot of times the people that come into this kind of work are tough on themselves.
Right. And just to go back to like the negative self-talk, I mean, it goes hand in hand with like the medication because it's the cause, like why I want to. I also like, I don't know if this is like a true thing or what, but like with the negative self-talk, it is yourself saying these things to yourself, and I feel like part of it is like what is it trying to say? What is it really saying? It's saying it in this very aggressive and shitty way, but what is it actually getting at? You know, it's saying I'm a piece of
Well, I
shit,
think,
but like why?
yeah. So a couple of things about cognitive behavioral work, which is sort of what we're talking about here. And cognitive behavioral work simply means we're trying to change the negative things that the brain says to ourselves. And so that stuff is learned. And so I just read something recently that's very fascinating, that the most important part of our life is our first 1,000 hours. And I guess that's about a year or so. So the first 1,000 hours is, no, that's less than a year. Well, how many hours are in a month, in a week? 24 times 7, 150. So it's like a couple of months are our most important part. And so, like, when you're thinking about after you're born, do you have stability? Do you have safety? Are you getting your needs met? Are you being yelled at? Are you hearing? What are you hearing? And of course, our brain develops after that. But that early kind of connection and the ability to feel safe and to have our needs met and be regulated are so important. And so I think first the negative talk comes from external. Either we hear people saying that to us, or we hear people talking to themselves that way or talking to each other that way. And then it becomes something we do to ourselves. So it's a learned kind of behavior, and it's just us beating ourselves down because we don't feel like we're worthy of love, or that we don't belong, or whatever it is.
And I mean, for going for me, my personal experience from what my parents have told me is for the first 2 years of my life, I cried a lot. I guess I had like colic or something.
Yeah, that makes it really tough.
So my first 1,000 hours was crying, and I'm sure they yelled at me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's colicky baby is tough because it's hard to eat. I was colicky.
See, I knew we were fucking kindred spirits, Jeff. We're both too colicky,
Son of a bitches.
bitchin' with britches. It's the new
The colicky boys.
the colic
You know,
boys.
and so I think my childhood was more stable than your childhood,
Oh, 100%.
but my mother was severely depressed. And so when she did a good job with meeting needs and those kind of things, but when you're raised in a home where one of the parents is depressed, the children pick up on that because they're and like, for me, my mood is sort of muted. I don't have as high highs or as low lows as some people I know. And I think some of that came from just being raised by somebody that was severely depressed. And she's one of the people that antidepressants have been miraculous for. She's finally got some relief. Took a long time to figure out sort of what to put her on. And then when in the 70s, you know, they didn't really have much, so people just suffered.
And I think there's also a part of me that is kind of afraid to get better.
That you're not going to be you.
Then I'm not going to be me. I'm not like, and you know, I just kind of, part of me like acknowledges like that's not true. Like, misery doesn't equal personality.
Right,
And
right.
either way, I'm gonna be miserable. So why?
It's just less miserable, a
It's
little
just
less
less. It's just a
miserable.
little less miserable. So I don't think that's true. But I think just like deeper on it, I think it's like how like not necessarily what the effects or side effects will be, but like if it does help and it puts me in a place where I'm happier, does that mean like that's gonna feel so foreign as am I gonna be able to handle that right? Can I handle that right?
Yeah. I think it's pretty subtle too. And like a lot of times people will say that a partner or a friend may notice that there's a difference before you do. And so it's not really like, it's not that you're not really going to feel that different. It's just all this negative self-talk takes a lot of energy. And so I think it decreases that energy, and then you have that energy for other things. It takes a lot of energy to beat yourself down all the time. And so, like, if you're doing that 60% of the time and it goes down to 30% of the time, or it's not quite as harsh, it just gives you more energy.
Right,
And
yeah.
it's not necessarily about getting totally rid of that voice. It's about having some kind of either voice that is more moderate, or a voice to sort of argue with that other voice. You know,
Yeah.
it's just like, I'm a piece of shit. Well, you know, I'm not a piece of shit. You
It's
know,
what
maybe I had a bad week, or maybe, you know, but it's that whole I am terrible kind of thing too. Maybe I didn't get accomplished what I wanted to this week, or I did something I didn't like this week.
it's
It's changing your whole identity and just saying I'm a person and sometimes I make mistakes, but that doesn't make me a piece of shit.
right. It's like basically hiring a public defender for yourself, for your
And
brain.
internal public defender.
Objection, Your Honor. This man deserves to be
Now,
happy, but he's not going to be able to come.
it's going to take him a little longer to come.
It's gonna take.
You know, one of the things, one of the criticisms of cognitive behavioral work is that it can sound like we're blaming the person that is suffering for their own suffering. And that's not what it's about. It's not saying that you are responsible for the things that have happened around you that may have caused you trauma. That's not what it's saying. And it's not saying that if you're not happy that you're doing something wrong. It's simply saying there are some tools you can utilize to try to make yourself not feel quite as bad.
Yeah. And it's just, even like getting into therapy, it's I feel a reluctantness to you to take advantage of those tools, you know? Like I
Sure.
feel worried, I feel scared. I like even going to therapy now, like there is still kind of like an anxiousness to it, 'cause it's like me having to show up for myself. And if I don't take a proactive stance to mitigate the self-talk, then I am not showing up for myself, and I need to show up for me, 'cause I am all I have, and I am me, as you are he, and we are we, and two of us are together.
I find that what a lot of clients think, and this is actually what I thought and still think sometimes, that you know, for most people this stuff works, but I'm too far gone, or I'm worse, you know. So in the case of like all therapy patients, 99.999 are not pieces of shit. They're just think they are, but I really am. You know, and so it's like I'm against the curve, and like,
I
but I
am the
find that that's a
exception.
common, yes, I am the exception to the piece of shit rule, which is very important. But yeah, I find that a lot of clients feel that way, or a lot of people feel that way. It's they are not worthy of not suffering. They deserve to suffer,
Right.
and these things aren't going to work because they really are. It's not just a delusional or an irrational thought process. They really are bad. And I just don't, this is controversial, but I don't really believe that we are bad or good. We are just people
Now.
that do good or bad things.
Yes.
I mean, there's extremes where you can look at people and just say, okay, but there's always a story that got them there. But we are people. We do good things. We do bad things.
Yes.
And I'm not going to define what those are, you know, because they're different for each person. But that's just what people are. But at the core, we are a a human being worthy of respect and worthy of joy and worthy of all the emotions. And sometimes we fuck up.
Sometimes we
fuck
up.
And everybody
up.
fucks up. And that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to fuck up.
And then see if you can learn from it. We typically tend to do the same things over and over again because we're creatures of habit.
Right.
But I think it's sort of like, are we progressing in our lives? Are we trying to be better? Are we trying to learn? Are we trying to explore? And I feel like as long as we are trying to learn, trying to be better, trying to learn from mistakes, that's a positive. That's a good thing.
Yeah. That's kind of like a phrase that's kind of been in my head, is that we're not lost. We're just exploring.
Yeah.
Sandy kind of, she got a bumper sticker of that. And it's like, it has resonated with me. Like I'm in a weird place. I'm in a weird headspace. I'm struggling mentally, and I need to show up for myself and take the right steps and do that. If that means trying medication to see if that will help, that I can at least say that I tried it.
Yeah, and again, I feel like I don't want you to feel pressure.
No.
It's another possible tool.
Right.
It's just
no.
a possible tool that may or may not work for you.
Right. And I don't feel a pressure. Cause I have been open up to it, but it's just, there is a fear. There's an underlying fear of, well, fuck, I'm going to end up like my mom, and I don't want.
Yeah, sure, sure.
That's the last thing I want to fucking do. Cause that was the biggest cautionary tale.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You know, and I think if we could see ourselves the way other people see us, I think that would be so interesting, because typically we are very open to other people and we're like, oh, you're not a piece of shit. You know,
yeah.
you just made a mistake. If we could just give ourselves that same kind of consideration, I think it would be, there'd be a lot less sadness in the world. We're just so hard on ourselves. We don't give ourselves the breaks.
No.
We don't give ourselves the grace that we would generally give other people.
It's very astounding that I am more concerned with, I'm more concerned with getting good results than feeling good about things, if that makes sense. Like my brain wants me to do the best that I can and achieve the things that I want to achieve and put out the things that I want to put out. But it's so critical when it's in the middle of like making these things and like taking that step back and seeing where there's those mistakes, and it's like, oh, why'd you make that fucking mistake? Why did this happen? Why didn't you see that take wasn't as good as this other take, or where'd you fuck up here?
Right.
And I just, I need to just be fine with the process. And I am fine
right.
with the process. It's my favorite part. I guess it's more, maybe it's more of just like letting things be, letting things exist, control what I can control.
You know, and I think the other thing I think to remember is that we are sort of, we're moving up, but we're moving in sort of a circular kind of way. So we're like, it's like we're better than we're not so good, but like over the, it's like the stock market. If you look at it over the long period of time, it's going up. And I think you've got to say, you know, I'm healthier than I was 5 years ago, but it's so subtle, you don't see it. And so it's just like, we're healing and we are getting better. It's just slow, and it's going to be slow. healing doesn't happen immediately. Every now and then there's a moment of, you know, an aha moment where you really figure something out. But most of the time, it's just slow, little bitty tiny steps forward. And then all those tiny steps end up to a big thing. And so it's not expecting that you're supposed to fix it all overnight. And that's hard too.
Yeah. And I mean, you're absolutely right. Like 5 years ago, back in 2019, which is probably when we first met.
Yeah.
I am way more healthier than I was 5 years ago. I think like mentally, possibly physically. I don't know. I still eat like shit, but you know,
but that, I think that's something to put in your brain and remember, okay, so I am getting better. I am getting healthier. And 5 years from now, I'll be healthier.
But fuck, does it not feel like when you get better, it just opens up more doors for misery?
Well, you're healthier, so you're dealing with more stuff.
Fuck! See?
What? But I think that that's one of the hard parts, because you have to address things. But ideally, that will eventually plateau where you're still addressing things, but you're just ready for new stuff. You're ready for bigger things now. That's why this stuff is there. You're ready to handle some bigger stuff.
Right. No, I mean, you're right. It's just it's when you point it out and it's like, feels like this emotional Sisyphus that's just pushing up this goddamn boulder of sadness.
Yeah.
And like, you get it up and you have a good day, and then it's like, oh, the next day it's at the bottom again. So now you gotta push it back up.
And that's, I think, what, again, medication helps a little bit with, is it gives you that extra tiny little boost where it's like, you don't go down to one again. You stop, you get up to six or seven, and then you drop to zero. With the medicine, you drop to two. And right. So it's not quite as hard to get started again.
See, now that would be my antidepressant drug ad, would be like a Sisyphus. Is that the guy? I hope it is. Someone correct
me.
Yeah,
Sisyphus, I think, was rolling a boulder.
Right. That, or something. That needs to be the antidepressant commercial where it's like, time's getting you tough, and it's just this, he's pushing up this huge boulder that has sadness written on it. And it's like, for that little extra push, Zoloft.
That's right.
And then while it's listing all the side effects, the eagle's eating the liver out.
it's not the solution. For some people, that's all they need. Mm-hmm. For most people, it's a mix of medication and therapy. Although I think you can do much of it with therapy, but I think it's okay to... I mean, these are real drugs that have been tested over years, a long time. And so they work and they help folks.
Yeah. And I need to work on being open to it. And I am open to it, but I'm scared. I'm a little scared.
It's okay to be reluctant. And I think especially with some of the stuff in your background, medication or drugs don't always feel like a positive kind of thing. And so, but I think you could talk to a doctor or a nurse or whatever. You don't even have to start anything. You could just talk to them and tell them what your concerns are and like what you're worried about. And that can be part of that process,
right,
of choosing. And then you're in control. So I think that's the other thing. You start taking it and you don't like it, you stop.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
You're in control. And I think nobody's going to force you to take these medications. And I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed in you. It's a thing to figure out. They do need to check your thyroid because thyroid can mess up all kinds of stuff. So,
Oh no, what if I have a thyroid issue?
well, then you just take thyroid medicine and it's just a medical condition and that feels better.
I mean,
So I
I don't
have to give
know.
you a thorough thyroid palpation,
What the
palpitation.
what?
Yeah, they're gonna have to palpate that puppy.
What does that mean?
No, it's a blood test.
Oh, taking blood, great. That's just what
I
I
don't even
need.
know where the thyroid is. It's somewhere in your neck, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is somewhere. It is somewhere in the neck. I do remember.
It controls it can control anxiety and depression. It can control appetite, sleep, all kinds of stuff the thyroid does. You don't have to have one either. You can have it taken out.
No fooling.
Yeah, you can live with I think you can lose any organ except for the spleen. That's the only one that's you got to keep.
Gotta keep the spleen. Well, the heart,
Or maybe
right?
you don't have to keep the spleen.
The heart? You can live without a
Oh
heart?
yeah, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys. You got to keep those too.
Right. I mean, you gotta keep at least one kidney.
And I think you can get rid of your pancreas, your gallbladder, your spleen, your appendix.
Yeah, get all those bad boys out.
You can get parts of your intestine or liver taken off. You can get like your stomach shortened. You could probably live with maybe a lung. I don't know, man.
I'm just waiting for them to put my consciousness in a robot. That's so I can be a depressed
That's
robot.
coming, man.
I know, I'm here
I think
for
in
it.
your lifetime, maybe not mine, but you'll be able to go into a robot.
Fuck
One of those
yeah.
robot dogs that looks so freaky.
That'd be cool. I'd love to be a robot dog. You know, this is a positive ending, I think. I think it's reached its logical conclusion. Robot
Yeah,
dog.
robot dogs. We'll all be robot dogs in the future.
You know, and Jeff, you have any final thoughts on negative
Yeah.
self-talk, what we talked about? I mean, you had a lot of
So
really great points.
this a positive thing, and so like it's sort of a shout out at the end, but you and I were in a movie that we worked off of each other, and it got nominated from stuff, but I think it was because
Oh, don't be
we were
shy.
working together and we were like feeding off of each other. So it was a really positive experience for me. Rafi is the director.
Rafi's the
So
director. The film is called Murder.
writer sort of. So, but
Yeah.
you are a positive, you are a talented person and you are a positive person and you are very friendly and funny, and so I know sometimes it's hard to hear those things, but it's important to have those things to balance the negative when you're thinking, oh, blah, blah, all these things. You're a really easy person to talk to. You've got deep thoughts. Your picture is appearing on all kinds of people's faces
So yeah,
lately,
that's been
so
happening. I don't know if you guys
yeah, I
have
don't know how
seen.
that is crazy, man. So yeah, just sort of be gentle with yourself and give yourself some grace. And when you're feeling beating yourself down, to say, hey, maybe this is a little harsh. And that's for all our listeners too,
Just take a step back
just
and
pull back.
pull back. I want to say, yeah, just to elaborate on your thing, Rafi, R.L. Bell, as he is credited, wrote, direct, produced. He did the whole shebang. He didn't work camera, but he did the whole shebang of Murder in Broad Daylight. Me and
Yes.
Jeff got to work with each other, and it got nominated for Best Use of Elements, and I think it won that. But it also got our lovely our Everything Is Traumatic's own Jeff Snell a nomination for Best Actor for the Two Wing
Yeah.
Twister. So
It was exciting.
that was great to hear. Like that made me so happy. And I agree. Like I think you did an amazing job with it.
But
And
I think it was the way we were working together too. We were feeding off of each other. And so
right.
I think My role was the more dramatic one. I had to do more range, but your character was definitely devious.
Yeah, I had to yell at you, and it was terrible.
You yelled at me and you put your finger to my lips.
I know, and there was a I don't know if Ralphie wants us to mention this, but there was a quite a heated de debate, not heated, but there was a debate about two or three, one or two fingers for
Yeah,
the.
and we went with the one, but yeah. So, and he shot it quite a bit, but yeah, so I think just yes. It was a positive experience.
If you guys can check it out, he's put it out on YouTube. It's on his page, which is Rafi Dog, fuck,
Something dog.
Rafi Dog Productions. Actually, the YouTube name is IMHO Film Edition, acronym for In My Humble Opinion. Check it out. It's a great fucking short.
Yeah, he does quite a few movies. He's doing doing lots of different stuff.
He puts them out, and they're all very well written. I like them.
Yeah, he's experimenting. He does a lot of stuff.
So this has been everyone here at Everything Is Traumatic. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff.
And please take care of yourself.